survive if I let you.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show.
Right for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right. Welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz, and good morning on this lovely August Monday morning post-SummerSlam. They're getting ready for a big Raw in the same venue right there at the Barclays Center in South Brooklyn. See, all novices that aren't New Yorkers, they just call it Brooklyn. To me, it's South Brooklyn, because that's what it is. So anyways, they're doing that over there. We're going to talk about in this show. Going to give you a SummerSlam breakdown a little later on in the show. Going to talk a little about NXT, but the big orange elephant in the room, Seth. Yes, it's not you, Seth. You're not the orange elephant. But it's the big news, the big news that we dropped, and that CBS Radio put out a nice press release. I, you know, went on a couple of little old radio shows. Seems like there's a new show coming around the old audio world called The Taz Show.
That's a catchy name.
You think so?
I like it.
I'm really excited about this. Listen, man, this is something that, it's a long time coming, more than you guys know out there. Now listen to this. This is a daily show, morning 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. For those folks on the West Coast, sorry, you got to get up early if you want to hear it live. But otherwise, it will podcast or be ready, whatever you want to call it, on demand or for a download. How's it going to work? The podcast of the daily show will drop every day, obviously, right, Seth? And like right after the show, kind of?
Yeah, 10 o'clock the latest.
10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, the latest. Yeah. So an hour after we go off the air live. And so people might say, well, where can I find this? Is it on terrestrial radio? No, it's not on terrestrial radio. But it's on something in the wave of the future called streaming radio. And so yeah, you can find it basically on play.it. There'll be explain that whole subsite with the Taz Show website, please.
There'll be links on play.it, on radio.com, anywhere you see CBS property, you'll be able to find the Taz Show. But, you know, of course, you'll be communicating with the fans as well via Twitter.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. And the cool thing, dude, is that the video element of the show will be available. Well, the show's going to debut September 14th. The Taz Show will debut Monday through Friday, start Monday, September 14th. But the video end of it, now how quick after that are we going to have that, Seth?
Very soon.
Yeah, very soon. Maybe a couple of weeks, a week or two after. It's a construction thing, right? They got the construction in the studio.
Definitely before Halloween.
Nice. So basically, you guys out there that are fans of the Human Podcast Machine, or mine, or that love hearing Seth, or Seth and I, or whatever, or maybe you hate me, you love Seth, which there might be four or five of you guys.
Yeah, my peeps.
Yeah. No. So you could actually watch us in studio right here in Midtown, right here in Gotham, New York City. So it's going to be a daily show that's audio and video streaming. I mean, so I believe this is the first of its kind ever that's going to cover the pro wrestling sports entertainment business. And I will also talk about other things. That's why it's called Body Slams and Beyond. You know, topical stuff, personal stuff, sports stuff. But I would say 90-something percent of it will be sports entertainment, pro wrestling.
I think we crunched the numbers. It's 91%.
Was it 91? I wasn't in that meeting.
Yeah. So I was just saying that email. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, it's going to be... it's been a long time coming, and I don't want to get sappy here, but I got to thank, you know, a lot of people. I got to thank, obviously, everybody at CBS Radio. I got to thank you, Seth, put a lot of work into the Human Podcast Machine from when this thing started. I mean, we started, in January?
Well, we started earlier than January, buddy.
We put a lot of work.
We launched in January.
Good point.
We started recording and doing stuff in November.
Yes, we did, and that's a good point. And I want to thank all of my guests, especially every guest I've had. Because that helped build the show from Edge being the first guest and early on guests like Matt Hardy and MVP, Rob Van Dam. I mean, you know, I've had so many great guests and hope to have more. But as you guys know, my deal is I'm not a guest driven type show. It's more of a topic driven show, and I say it's the first of its kind. You could find like some other jabroni type shows. No disrespect to jabroni shows, but you could find shows like that online, audio, YouTube and stuff. I don't know, maybe video too, but.
Well, there's never been a former pro wrestler, former color commentator, had his own show 5 days a week.
Well, on a platform wrestling to the level of a CBS radio.
Of course.
I mean, that's what I'm
big
saying.
Big time here.
Yeah, this is big. Big. Yeah, so it's a big deal. You know, I mean, you know what? I think, too, that from a technical standpoint, and Seth, you could hit on this a little bit. Maybe you can. So some of the listeners that aren't too on top of this thing, like me, don't understand from a technical standpoint. Streaming, terrestrial, maybe the difference, and how streaming is kind of becoming the wave of the future or the current.
Well, streaming is online, so you get streaming radios online. It's also not subject to FCC, not that we're going to be cursing up a storm here. We're not planning on potty mouthing.
No
this,
potty.
You know? But terrestrial's over the air, so it's on your radio and your cars. But now, as everybody knows, you're able to listen to streaming in your car.
Yes.
Listen to it on your phone.
It's on demand.
Mobile is huge.
Yes.
That's where all the listening's happening now, mobile. So you can listen to Taz live mobile on your commute in on the East Coast, 7 to 9.
Well, hold on. You said Taz live. The show is not Taz live.
No, you can listen to Taz live.
Well, how about you can listen to the Taz show live?
Okay.
You can listen because there's going to be some confusion, homeboy. Because, you know, let's discuss that real quick.
All right, let's do it.
Everybody thought, look, this was almost like, for those real loyal fans of Human Podcast Machine and me, this was the worst kept secret ever that this was going to go daily.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
How was it such a bad kept secret? Who didn't keep that secret?
Who kept teasing? Who kept telling me to tease? Because, not you. I'm not blaming you. Others in this beautiful corporate office. But then things kind of got put on hold because there was some business things that had to be worked out. That's not important to share, but... your salary. It's all worked out. Praise God. It's done. But the thing is, the name of the show. So that was a little bit of a thing where, you know, we did those 5 days at WFAN, and WFAN and Boomer Carton were gracious enough to open their studio, and Mark Chernoff, the famed program director there, and the big shot here in New York City, he was opening up his WFAN for myself to come in there and you to do Taz Live for those 5 days. This is a different deal. We changed the name of the show for a lot of reasons. I do think the Taz Show is an evergreen name. So let's say you live in Los Angeles and you can't listen to the Taz Show Daily Show live. So you want to listen to it on your phone or whatever, on your laptop at 9 p.m. when you come home from work, L.A. time. Well, it's not Taz Live. It's the Taz Show.
Actually, they can listen to it when they're out commuting to work because it'll probably be up as a podcast already.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
See, right there's the reason why you're at the level you're at in your career, bro.
Boom.
That's it. I mean, that just goes to show the success, why you walk around wearing custom suits. You're like your boy Ric Flair. Woo! Slick Rick. You're like Rick. You're wearing fancy clothes and all that. It's unbelievable.
You know, you guys rub off on me.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. But anyways, then we got to get Rick on the show. I know he's your buddy. You're always drinking with Rick.
I was thinking of that little, like, Woo Wednesday update. You know?
Really?
Rick could come on and tell us what's going to happen on his show.
I'm down with that. Yeah, I love Rick. I mean, anything Rick wants, he's the man. He's the champ. No doubt.
And his daughter, she's cool, too.
She's great. Charlotte, we'll get into that later on. But, yeah, Charlotte definitely for sure. So that's the rundown, man. So I want to thank everybody at CBS Radio. I want to thank all the guests that I've had to help get to this point. It's not even a year, I think, dude, right? And this happened.
No, and it's pretty amazing that we're going to take this step, and it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited. And for our former guests, we'll have a hotline, you know? People want to call in, we'll have a special hotline.
I agree. And, you know, I don't think people realize, Seth, like, the amount of work that went into the UN podcast machine and how much, like, time that not just me but you, we put into the show. You know, like, a lot. I don't think... And I got into this thing, and this podcast thing wasn't like, it's just another wrestler with a podcast. You know what? Those type of things, when I saw people on Twitter from in the business, out of the business, that kind of negativity inspires me. You know, because a lot of people thought I was going to fall on my face.
Well, the proof of your work ethic is, you know, as people know, I work on Play.it. I work with a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
I've overseen a lot of shows, over 60 shows. The people, it's just like work, whatever, you have a work ethic. Whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. We've had some big names here come in, and they think they're just going to show up.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work.
Fizzles down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what, bro? And you know me better than all these people here at CBS. You cannot go into this thing like it's just like, a little side gig, a money grab. That's not how I went into this.
No.
You were in the meeting, the first meeting when I was up here, and they invited me to talk to me about this stuff. And my desire, my passion, and that is just even hotter now. You know what I mean? Like, I will not let anyone beat me. No one will beat us here. It's not just me, it's us. It's CBS, it's me and you, it's the Taz Show, it's the whole, our whole realm here at CBS Radio and Play.it, the whole CBS Digital and CBS Local team. And I'm a pit bull in that regard. I'm not going to stop. I will not let no one beat us.
Yes, so, Taz made sure that I have to be a pit bull as well and not a poodle.
Yeah, you're not a poodle. You're going to be a pit bull. You can't run with you never see poodles walking around with pit bulls. So you ever see a pit bull walking down the street? You see pit bulls walking down the street. They got other pit bulls with them. They don't have a little friggin' poodle with them. They don't have a little parakeet. They got pit bulls.
Have they ever put those two together? I mean, a pitoodle? What would it be? I don't know.
That's pretty good. Pitoodle. So, I don't know. That sounds like something you get at, like, a carnival in Kentucky.
That's fried.
Like fried one with some powdered sugar on it. Some powdered sugar.
Two patoodles, please.
Got to talk a little bit real quick, too, about an advertiser, a little sponsor, a new sponsor, and then we'll get back to the little chatter right here. My friends over at Adorama, bro. You know, familiar with the Adorama deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, yeah. I live in this area, so I know Adorama.
Dude, Adorama.com/tradeup. Before you buy, check this out. You must visit Adorama.com/tradeup. Once again, before you visit Adorama.com/tradeup. It's another Adorama exclusive. And this dude, Aaron the Mensch. What's the Mensch? What is this?
It's
like a Jewish thing, right?
Yeah, Yiddish. It's a Yiddish word. It's a good guy. He's all a stand-up right. guy. Aaron's a good guy.
Well, you're your boy, the Aaron the Mensch.
Oh, it's my boy because I'm Jewish?
Yeah. All he right. says this event is the biggest of the summer. It's the Dell Computer Windows 10 Trade-Up Extravaganza. Yup, you heard me right, baby. The trade deadline may have passed, but not at Adorama. Save $100. Save a C-note, dude. Save some coin. Save some cabbage. No matter what you want to call it, you're going to save $100 when you upgrade any old notebook or desktop computer to a new Dell computer with Windows 10 powered by Intel. The Windows 10 trade-up event is for limited time only. Some restrictions may apply, so keep that in mind. Adorama.com/tradeup, baby. And hold on, homeboy. The savings don't just end right there. You can save up to another $100 with exclusive bundles of Microsoft Office deals. Dude, this is crazy.
It's good. Everybody needs this. You have to upgrade. Everybody knows that.
Have the mensches gone, Meshuggah? Do you like that?
That's good, man.
I'm good, bro.
Are you getting Jew in your family?
No, I don't. It looks that way, so you best hurry up. And get over that Adorama. And these guys are crazy. They're giving you great deals. Adorama is located at 42nd West and 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues or online at Adorama.com. Adorama, much more than a camera store, guys. That's Adorama.com/tradeup. Adorama.com/tradeup. So anyway, that's cool. You got to check that out. They're more than cameras. They got all sorts of electronics. A buddy of mine just bought a nice flat screen from those dudes, man.
They're top. They're always top of the line.
Top of the line, homeboy.
Good deals. Everybody's looking for good deals.
Of course. So like I was saying, I want to thank a lot of people for what happened here with this Taz show and this Daily Show. It's a huge deal. So everybody at CBS, I want to thank you, Seth, personally, like I said.
Thank you.
And I want to thank my family, my wife, my son, for putting up with me for the past several months dealing with this.
How about the past whole lives? How about the last 20 years?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. I hear you. But, yeah, no, my wife puts up a lot. I'm crazy. But no, really. I mean, because I don't just do this here. You know, I bring this home. Dude, please share with people how much, like, is it 24/7 that I'll text you or communicate with you about? Honest, be honest.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I have to respect it. Sometimes Daz is a pain in the ass, but you got to respect because he wants to be the best and he wants to have the best show and kick ass. So,
yes.
You know, sometimes I give him the finger when I'm on the phone. But
that's okay.
You know,
that's okay.
I don't do it to his face, though.
No, it's all right. I don't mind. I'd rather not do it to my face. That's a problem.
I'm sorry. What was it called on the show? Finger gestures.
Finger gestures, yes. So we got to talk a little bit about NXT, and then we got to talk about SummerSlam. But, again, thank you to listeners. That's the one I'd say for less. You got to thank the listeners and the supporters of the show, okay? Because without you guys building the success of this show And without the advertisers, and you guys supporting the advertisers, but you guys supporting the Human Podcast Machine, this would never have happened.
And like you said, you know, people were down on another wrestler podcast. You won people over because you already started kind of from a negative place. You know,
yes.
Like, oh, I already have enough shows. I don't even.
Well, because they had Austin, they got Jericho, they got JR stuff. JR stuff's a little different, but they still, you know, guys like Cole Cabana, who I've had on the show, who was a pioneer, who I don't think gets enough credit. You know what I mean? Like, so. But I do think that you know, it's a deal where I was inspired by some of the negativity from Jump Street. Okay, a lot of people, and I love calling people out like that. You know, I love punking people out. Like, look at me now, bitch. You know, like that's my whole thing. You know what I mean? Like,
they should have known better though. You're a color commentator. You have a leg up on a lot of those guys. You know, you were doing that. You were already being that entertainer on TV every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's another guy, like, for example, well, let me get into that down the road. But I have these things go through my brain and I gotta chill. But, you know, again, thank you to all you guys that download, subscribe to the Human Podcast Machine. I cannot thank you enough. Please stay with us. Stay with the show. Once we're live daily, please don't leave. Please tell your friends and family. Let's get this thing even more successful because we're going to give you daily content on topical stuff in the business, out of the business. You know, I give you real feelings, real thoughts, real opinions. I have no filter, okay? And from my experience as a former in-ring competitor, a former champion, a former broadcaster, a former trainer, behind-the-scenes guy doing this over, you know, just about 30 years in the business, you know, I match my resume up against anybody's, and I say that humbly. I'm not bragging. But I'm sincere, and I'm real. And that's my best quality, I feel, because I'm not going to bullshit you. Okay, I'm going to come out here and be real. And I'm not. I don't have to toe the line for the WWE. I don't do podcasts for them. I don't have to be that guy. I'm not trying to get a gig with TNA or Ring of Honor. I don't need to do any of that stuff. I'm out here. I work for CBS Radio, Play.it, Radio.com, and I'm here to serve you guys and give you the best content.
And we're going to take your calls, and we're going to have fun,
too. That's a good point. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Because you don't take yourself that seriously. Sometimes you sound serious, but
I don't.
You know, especially with Mike Tenay's on.
Well, that's another guy I want to thank is Mike Tenay, because Mike, a big part of the Human Podcast Team is the Fantasy Draft Edition, which we all know the success of that is not because of me or Mike, it's because of you, Seth.
Of course.
So, but Mike
is... It's Google.
Yes, Mike has been a, we're going to do a live on...
draft, no doubt.
Live fantasy draft on the Taz Show. And the hashtag I think we're going to use for that is hashtag TTSHOW, TT Show, the Taz Show. See how I thought of that?
Wow, I was just trying to put it together.
It's unbelievable, man.
Unreal.
Try to save people on the character hers, you know what I mean?
It's 140.
So, yeah, 140, bro. They got to up that. By the way, they got to up that.
I think I've heard rumblings.
Really?
I've heard some Twitter rumblings.
You're in all sorts of meetings. You're a stud.
Hashtag rumblings.
Rumblings. And I want to ask you a question on the air, Seth.
Uh-oh.
What is the deal now with the Human Podcast Machine with Play It? So will that name still live, and will the Taz Show, the podcast of the Taz Show, be podcasted in the Human Podcast Machine?
I think it will be. I don't think it's finalized, but I think it will be, just to keep it all together so people can find your archives. And
that's
just
a good idea.
Still be Taz.
I think so.
People will download and subscribe to another whole podcast. They already be subscribers of the Human Podcast Machine.
Oh, okay. So they could just find the show. Like when we did those five demo shows of Taz Live, it lived in Human Podcast.
Correct.
Okay. So let's get on to business at hand. Let's start with NXT. Did you see the show?
I did.
What did you think of the show as a whole?
Overall, I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Mm. You know, me too. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I think everything was a clean finish. I'm pretty sure, just about a clean. I'm not looking at the list, but I should grab the list. It's not a cheat. I'm not cheating. I'm just looking at the run now. But the crowd, the audience there at the Barclays Center on that Saturday night was buzzing, man. It seemed hot. Just watching that thing online, you could just tell.
Yes.
And I was having a lot of fun on Twitter because people thought I was going to be there. People really thought I was going to be there.
You told me you were going to be there.
And and the more I'm telling people I'm not going to be there, it's like, you're swerving us. You got to tell JR, you're swerving us.
You know, they had some of the some Hall of Famers at ringside. I thought it could have been cool if you were there at ringside too, being a hometown guy.
Dude, I think if they would have wanted me to sit ringside, I would have said no.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't put stars. I'm not a star, but I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not sitting in the crowd over there in the front row. I'm not.
True.
You know, I don't agree with what they did with that. Just my opinion. I don't agree with that they had you know, like the Click sitting in the front row or any talent that they had.
Who's that Japanese women's wrestler?
Oh,
Kana?
Kana the Schneebus Furman. Yeah, she's no,
she's Jewish.
She's supposed to be she's supposed to be the Cat's Meow, as they say. She's supposed to be very good.
Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with her work, but yes, I've done a little. I got to do a little more research on her. But I will tell you, I'm just not crazy about that. I just don't. I think I see. I see what they're doing and try to make it bigger. I just wasn't crazy about that part of it. Was it horrible? No. But having stars in the crowd, maybe I'm a little old school with that.
Well, think about it this way. You know, you watch UFC and boxing. They do it all the time, right?
That doesn't mean it's right.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
But you make a good point. You do make a good point. No, I'm just saying I don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I don't like it. That's all. But, of course, people will come on Twitter and say, Taz, how dare you have your own opinion? Your opinion's wrong. Like, you know, all this stuff. I can't have my opinion. But fans on Twitter can have their opinions.
Other people are such haters, man.
What? Why is that? Why is there not more love in the world, bro?
I don't know. Maybe if Donald Trump gets elected.
I think there'll be loads of love. Loads of love.
Unless you're an illegal immigrant. Then
digressing right now. I did enjoy the NXT show. That was great. I thought Triple H's promo was awesome. I liked that he didn't have a stick mic in hand at first. He had what they call a lav, on his lapel, and it was kind of feeding. I don't know if it fed the house until he grabbed the stick mic. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good job by him. He didn't come out all knotted up, meaning with a tie on. He just was dressed. They call that business cash. That's what they call that, okay? Just had a couple buttons unbuttoned, because that's the NXT feel. It's a little bit looser, you know what I mean? So, what's going on? The air conditioning just kicked on or something?
I think it did. I got like a breeze. It's going through I don't have any here.
I didn't get that. I got to put that part in the contract. AC needs to go on at 6 a.m.
Good luck.
So anyway, so on to the show. They kicked that bad boy off with Tyler Breeze, right? And just another Liger. Is this the first time because you're a little bit of a jabroni, first time you saw Liger compete?
I used to watch WCW.
I know.
He was on there all the time.
He was.
Wrestling with your buddy Jericho and all those guys.
He looked the same.
He put on a few pounds.
But somebody said to me, is that you under the costume? That should have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been great.
Would have ripped the mask off if it was me the whole while. Jeez, I couldn't do Liger's stuff when I was in shape. He's older, and he still does his stuff. He's great. I like I said, I wrestled him. I talked about that in the past.
Makes it look easy. He does.
He's great. He's a great guy. I only wrestled a guy once, and that was many moons ago over there in Tokyo. Not Tokyo, Japan. I can't remember his hometown.
I looked for that match because he told me about
it. What was
it? For it?
Yeah, I don't know if we shot TV there. Yeah, I don't know whatever his hometown was. I've been to so many cities that I got confused.
It came up on YouTube. It was you against Jushin Thunder Liger in a video game.
Did I win that one?
I didn't watch it. I was like, I'm not watching a video game.
I don't blame you. No, but I wrestled that dude once, man. But anyway, what'd you think of the match? Because I really liked it. I thought both these guys played off each other great. I did.
Let's say it set the tone for the night. I mean, yeah, Liger won the match, but he also, Tyler Breeze looked great in defeat. I mean,
yeah, some I think people might have been a little griped that, you know, that Tyler Breeze is the young gun. He's an NXT guy, and Liger's a visitor, and that, you know, Tyler Breeze should have won the match. You know,
he's come 5,000 miles to lose. Come on.
Well, I've gone 5,000 miles and lost to Liger. So, sometimes if you get paid the right amount, you do that. No, but I don't know. I can see people stall, but I think that this match was excellent for Tyler Breeze. I don't know the young man, but I'm assuming he's pretty smart to the degree that he understands that he's getting a great rub up against a tremendous legend in Liger.
His entrance was great, you know, taking the pictures with the selfie stick with the girls.
Absolutely. I thought it was great. Maybe Liger goes into this thing because maybe he's going to get put in the Hall of Fame. I could see Liger getting put in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
And that's one of the reasons why maybe they wanted him there, you know, and...
It's tricking me. If Liger's going in, you got other Japanese wrestlers that haven't been in yet. Like Tiger Mask, I don't think he's in yet.
There's tons of guys. No, from Japan, absolutely. And guys from Mexico. But anyway, Tyler Breeze got a great rub here in a super strong competitive match. You know, I don't think it hurts Tyler Breeze at all. No one is remembering, except for the part that we just reminded them, that Tyler Breeze lost. But I don't think people think of that when they think about it. What a spectacle it was. What a great moment to see Liger compete, you know, in the States here, and boom, at this big show in Brooklyn. And, you know, I think it was great for both wrestlers. I really did.
Yeah, no doubt.
And perfect match to kick off the show. I mean, I thought it was excellent. Then we saw a little vignette for this new diva, Nia Jax. It's a pretty cool little vignette they did. She's coming soon to NXT.
Bring on more women wrestling. They're getting as hot as the guys now.
Man, it's just the talent though. The females, the divas, NXT, WWE, whatever. As far as the WWE goes, I mean, just off the chart, tremendous. I agree. Vaudevillians, dude. How awesome is this? I've seen these guys several times.
It's a great gimmick.
But to see the gimmick, right? The entrance in a big building like Barclays, how cool they shot it production-wise?
It was badass. I mean, those guys are so cool. I mean, it's like
so different.
They're almost like a silent, silent movies back in the day.
You know, we always say it's so hard to be original in the wrestling business. So much has been done, you know? So many people copy other people and all this kind of crap. These cats, man, I had never seen nothing done like this. I mean, you know, it's just great. I love the gimmick. I really do. And they went on and they defeated Blake and Murphy. I got to say, Blake and Murphy, they got some cool music. You know, they got this, like, real technical, young feel. But it doesn't fit the way they look. Blake and Murphy look like two rugged guys from the South or the West. You know what I mean? Like, and they got this cool techno club-like Manhattan, L.A. music.
Like, they remind me, they make me think about, like, they'd be good. They're good members of DX. Like, if there's a new
really?
DX.
Like, you think so?
They'd be like the Outlaws.
Yeah, maybe, like the New Age Outlaws. They remind me of a steakhouse, Blake and Murphy. Went to a good one right in Tampa. No, I'm joking. It sounds like that, right? Let's go to Blake and Murphy's. I'll take the T-bone. No, wait, did you say T-bone? Hold on.
T-bone. Suplex? Tazplex.
No. Hey.
If you're in Tampa, you want to eat a Burn Steakhouse. That's the steakhouse.
Tell you, one of the best steakhouses I've been to, if you want to talk about steakhouse, is in Indianapolis, the old Don Shula's. Oh, yes, the Miami Dolphins football coach. I went with The Rock and the Dudleys.
Wow. How was that, Bill?
I didn't pay, but it was a lot. So I offered to pay. I wasn't allowed to pay, but
that was nice of them.
Yes, wasn't them. It was The Rock.
Thanks, Rock.
So no, and it was Don Shula's. We used to hit a lot of steakhouses, the four of us, when we were all on the same cards together. I don't know why. It just was. It was the Dudleys and The Rock, and then somehow I squirted in there into that clique of steakhouse clique.
Now, you must know, I heard Bubba talk about, like, The Rock used to travel with them, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
like, when he first started out.
Yeah, Rock got me, because of Rock, we were following each other in going from, I think, Moline, Illinois to Chicago, I think it was. We both had Cadillacs, the Danville Avis rented Cadillacs. I was following him, and he kept ribbing me. He was telling me before we got in the cars, the individual, look, dude, I drive a little quick. You can't keep up with me. Even though you're from New York, you can't. I go, dude, I'll keep up with you. No, you can't. I promise you can't. And I think he was just joking, right? Next thing I know, he's flying. I mean, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody on the highway. And we have to be doing a lot of mileage, like fast speeds. Cop, out of nowhere, I get pulled over because I'm behind him, and he just keeps going. Nice summons, Illinois State Police.
You couldn't get out of that? With your charm?
Excuse me. No, and the guy recognized me because that's how I was wrestling.
And he still didn't get it.
He didn't. He goes, you're going way too fast, bro. I got it. You know, it was up there.
I rented a Cadillac once. Don't they have governors on those? I feel like I got mine up to like 115.
And dude, it might have been. Yeah. That's well, to me, 115 is fast.
Yes.
And that's, you know, you're in a 55 doing 115. Hello.
Hello.
So anyway, I'm digressing.
Thanks,
so,
thanks, Rock.
Yeah, he owes me.
So, you know, well, you balanced out with this free steak, and you got to take it.
Many free steaks, thanks to people's champ. Yeah, no doubt. Love The Rock. Good man, no doubt. Miss talking to him, miss seeing him. But
Ballers? You watch Ballers?
No, I won. I heard it's really good.
I'm
going to watch it. Yeah, HBO,
he does a great job.
Yeah, I know he does. He's awesome, man. Boom, boom, boom. So,
Vaudevillians.
So, Blue Pants.
Yes.
What a gimmick, right?
It's funny.
It's unbelievable. I mean, people just pop for this girl. Like, it's... You know how that name probably started? I don't know, but I guarantee you I know. Because she was probably like in a dark match or trying out or working out, and she probably wore blue pants all the time. So one of the agents, I don't know who it was, but I could see like a Pat Patterson in a meeting saying, the one with the blue pants. What's her name? Blue pants. That's how it sticks.
I like these names.
Well, what do we name this girl? I don't know. Let's call her Blue Pants.
You know,
that's how it happens.
You know, like ROH has Cheeseburger. I like these random
stupid
names. It's great.
Yeah. You can't do a lot of that. You know what I mean?
Once in a couple,
you could go in and be the Jabroni.
I'll be
you
it. Know? I got a name already.
Oh, the Kung Fu Jobber, right?
That's right.
KFJ Jobber. I hear you. So, yeah, well, I like the match. I thought Vaudevillians and... what do you call it? Blake and Murphy with Alexa Bliss. I mean, I and seeing the Vaudevillians win the titles, I thought was great.
Very cool. And... And right after that, not too far after that, talk about the tag team tournament coming up, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, that's great. Yes, and William Regal. I'm chewing ice, I apologize. NXT GM William Regal, he announced the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which I thought was awesome. And it starts in 2 weeks, I believe they said, around October. What did he say? At the end of October 7th.
It'll end October 7th.
I'm sorry, end October 7th. My bad.
Starts in 2 weeks.
I think that's great. It's great for the WWE that they're doing something like that in memory of the great legend and the great man himself, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream.
Especially he was always awesome. He was always in those Crockett Cups and all that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's really, really cool. And, you know, you're seeing, and I'm trying to remember, it must have been Triple H or somewhere. I don't know if he said it on the panel when he was interviewed this week, and they had a lot of different media at these panels, but, you know, my show wasn't invited. So, well, yeah, not? I don't know. I don't know.
If yours is the number one show, why wouldn't they want to invite you?
No, I don't get invited. I don't play nice with others, I guess. I don't know. I guess because I don't say what they want me to say. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe I'm the jabroni. I don't know. I really don't. I don't care either.
Maybe I'm rubbing off on you.
I'm getting a bad rub.
For me.
They're like, he's got that producer guy, that annoying jobber guy, the kung fu guy. We can't have Taz around no more because he's the kung fu guy. He's got some karate expert that's a jobber.
Taz, dump the Jew and you can come aboard, okay? Get rid of the Jew. We don't like the Hebrews. Ever since Goldberg screwed us over, get rid of him.
That's funny. Anyway, I don't think they would have said that, but that is funny. So that I could have sworn that I heard that somewhere, man. That Triple H was saying that it's not that NXT is not a, what did he say at the opening of the show? That it's not a like a junior minor leagues of WWE.
Developmental.
It's a separate brand. Where did he say this? Did you hear about this?
No, but it's become that. I mean,
oh, totally is.
Organically.
Totally is.
Because it was a minor leagues and it was a developmental, but it's taken on a life of its own, especially because they have some of these veterans they brought in that have the experience that can help, you know, help these younger guys out, and they elevate the whole thing, the whole brand.
Totally agree. And we see guys that have experience that are out there come in, change their look, change their name. Like, for example, this young man, Apollo Crews.
Ooh-ha.
Ooh-ha Nation he was. He comes in, wrestles Dillinger, Ty Dillinger. He got a great reaction, Apollo Crews. I got to get used to calling him that. And just a tremendous competitor. If you guys haven't watched the NXT show or haven't seen Apollo Crews yet, you got to go online, watch weekly, watch the NXT show on WWE Network. Watch this young man compete. He's tremendous. Amazing athlete.
If you want to see more of him, you can go to YouTube and Ooh-ha Nation.
That's true. You can see some of his earlier stuff. Yeah, he is tremendous. I thought Dillinger looked good in the match, too. I mean, he was in a tough spot, Dillinger. You know, you're going to lose the match when you're not advertised who you're competing against.
Yeah, no, he's great. He got the 10 gimmick.
10!
And it made me think of, excuse me, him against Daniel Bryan would be great. The yes versus the 10.
That would be funny.
Yes, yes,
10! Yes. I like that. That's actually pretty good. You should be on a writing team for one of these wrestling companies.
I already ruined it by what I just said before, so they're not going to take me.
Why? What do you mean?
I talked about the Jews, and they don't like Jews, and yeah, I ruined it.
I know.
I'm like Donald Trump. I'm worse than Donald.
Ooh, God. You're obsessed with Donald.
I am.
You always bring up Donald Trump. Why, dude?
I don't know, because he's on. Every time I turn on my phone, everywhere else, he's everywhere.
And he's got a good publicist. That's why.
And everybody hates him, and his numbers keep going up. The more they say bad stuff about him, the more his numbers go up.
Yeah, he's smart. And like I said, he's got a great marketing team and publicist. Guy's not a multi-billionaire for no reason. He knows what he's doing. You know what I mean, homie? So, la, 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 la. Yeah, so
The match was great, though. Yeah, Ty Dillinger looked good.
And I thought the time, it wasn't a long match. I thought it was a good length because it was a stage to expose to the world who Apollo Crews is. And I thought they did it right. The amount of time given to it, the finishes on everything I thought were really good. So,
But Ty didn't come across like a jobber or a chump.
No,
he held his own and did well.
He did. And I enjoyed the match. And I thought it was very competitive and a good match. And like I said, I enjoyed the show. And I got to tell you, speaking on the show, by the way, this show, to me, flew by. This thing was fast. Unlike SummerSlam, which felt like it's still going on. Okay, which we'll get into later.
A little bit of a roller coaster.
Oh, my Lord. But it was long. 4 hours, bro. It's a lot to commit. And I committed it, and I felt like committing myself. So it was just too much. But
do you think it's fair? People are comparing NXT to SummerSlam. It's almost not fair to the main roster because NXT is so fresh and new, you know, and up and coming, where these guys are veterans and been around. We've seen so much of them. It's almost a little unfair to the main
it
roster.
It is unfair to the main roster for a lot of other reasons, too. Because I don't think Vince McMahon's hands They can be, but I don't think they are in much of the creative end or the finishes and his cronies, Vince's cronies, of the NXT finishes. I think that's more of Triple H and one or two couple of guys, and they have their finger on the pulse.
They
where
sure do.
I think on the main roster, it's a little bit archaic and a little bit the thinking. It's a little bit kind of, you know, it's not good, you know, some of it.
I feel like NXT's had a little bit of an influence on the main roster where I feel like they're not quite as scripted as they used to be. I think they have a little more leeway in there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no. Look, the main roster guys, I don't care what roster you could be. Look, man, to me, wrestlers are wrestlers. When you're a pro, you're a pro. I don't care if you're in NXT, Ring of Honor, TNA, in Lucha Underground, in Japan somewhere, WWE main roster, on the SmackDown roster, the Raw roster. I don't care where you are. If you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. It's the creative behind the push that makes who you are. The, you know, how you're built, the character, the look. If you're getting vignettes behind you, are you getting mic time? Are you doing, you know, like, all that stuff is vital. That makes the guy or gal, you know. So how much time does my match have? Well, you got 2 minutes to go out there with your entrance, so go get over. Oh, okay. When this guy next to me, he's got, you know, he's getting 20 minutes. Guy, go ahead and do your thing. I mean, it's a lot more time to get over. So, but sometimes you can overstay your welcome. And that's what I think happens when you have a four-hour show, like a SummerSlam. Some of the matches are too long, you know, and they lose some of the luster. It's not the talent's fault. It's just maybe there's not enough time built in getting a certain angle over, and then you're giving it so much time in the ring to fill time because you got 4 hours to fill. It's a little rough. You know,
they can't win. They can't win, right? Because some people say there's not enough wrestling, and there's too much. It's you know.
But we know none of that matters. What right. I say and feel is what matters. Okay. We know this.
True.
Okay, we know this. You know this already.
I know this.
So anyway, joking, guys. JK, JK.
LOL. Emojis,
JK.
Emoji smiley face.
Acronyms. JK. Yeah, I'm big at the faces now. Yeah, I got the wink, got the sunglasses.
Nice. That's
what does that mean? There's all different meanings for some of the gimmicks on the Twitter.
Those faces and stuff? I don't know. We should make some Taz Show emojis, though.
They call emojis, right?
Emojis.
All right. So, Samoa Joe now. How about Samoa Joe? Corbin.
How about
it? Loved it. I loved it. I did. I got to tell you. They had me for a minute. I didn't know who was going to win the match. It was good to see Joe win the match. I do think that the announcing did not... They kept drilling in my head that Corbin was green. And I think that's bad. You can't drill in your head how young someone is and expect them to be credible with someone to the level of Samoa Joe, who was a... You know, was held multiple championships, world championships. He's just, you know, he's so decorated. You got to build, your job is to build a guy, especially the guy that's losing, especially the younger guy. You know, I mean, and I just think if I had any knock on this show, and I know this is, you know, it's the announcing. Just the announcing on the show, it's just not, it's not good. And I tweeted about it during the show. It's just these, if you want to be a separate brand and you want to be the same level, you are. You have the talent, you have the production skill, you have the great creative team behind it, you have the mindset of a Triple H, you have all that covered. But the guys telling you stories and the guys getting your talent over don't know how to do it. They're not pros. They're not. It's that simple. I mean, Corey Graves sounds great, looks great. I tweeted about this yesterday. And he knows what he's talking about. It's just, and I think he's going to be very successful as a commentator. And I know his career was cut short. I know that. And I feel bad for the guy because my career was cut short. His was cut short a lot earlier than mine. So I do feel for the kid, and I mean that. I think he's awesome. I think he's great. Someone tweeted to me, well, Paul Heyman said he's the best color commentator on TV. Okay, that's cool. That's Paul Heyman's prerogative, and that's his opinion. Okay, Paul Heyman was also a color commentator. Let's be honest. That never got in the ring and wrestled. Paul's an excellent color commentator, but he had no resume of a wrestler. So why wouldn't Paul like a guy like Corey Graves? That's just my shoot point of view. And I think Paul was a great color commentator. I do. I think Bobby Heenan was the best. Bobby Heenan wasn't a wrestler, but Bobby Heenan did take bumps.
Oh, he was in matches.
Yeah. I'm saying he took bumps and took good bumps. Now, I'm maybe a little old school where I believe, I know some people could rail on me, and go ahead, rail away from, I don't care who you are. I think that to be an analyst or a color commentator, you need to have a body of work as a wrestler.
Let's say that again. Analyst, color commentator, not play-by-play guy.
Correct. Thank you. Yes. There's a big difference. Because people are like, well, what about Joey Styles, Taz? What about JR? These guys, never, they're play-by-play guys. That's what I tweeted also. Mike Tenay, Joey Styles, Michael Cole. These guys are play-by-play announcers. Totally different ball of wax. Watch real sports. Watch Monday Night Football. Al Michaels, play-by-play guy. Never played football. Who's his partner? John Gruden. Former head coach, player, or when John Madden, former head coach, or Joe Theismann, whoever it was, you know, color commentators.
Guys who were in it.
Guys who were in it. I mean, guys, you know, Matt Millen, you know, guys that were players or coaches.
Phil Sims,
thank you. Boomer Esiason, you go on and on. I mean, you know what I mean? Same with baseball, same with any sport. 9 out of 10 times. Now, look at a guy like in UFC, Joe Rogan. I think Joe Rogan's phenomenal. He's the color commentator. And he's not a fighter. He's not a former UFC champion. So I'm not contradicting myself. I am saying there are exceptions to the rule. And I do think that Corey Graves was a wrestler. His career was cut short. But his body of work, it's not long, unfortunately. He don't have championships under his belt. Does that mean he's never going to succeed as a commentator? No, he's going to succeed as a commentator. He will be the Raw color commentator sooner rather than later, I'm sure. Or SmackDown, I would assume so. I think he's really, really good. I just feel that to be a top-notch considered... How can you sell me on a championship match and what it's like for the champion to compete for to hold his title or the challenger to try to get that title when you haven't done it?
That's a good point.
To me, that's hard. You know, I can't... It's tough for me... to really, you know, gravitate to that. You know, if I'm watching pro baseball, I'm watching Major League Baseball, and it's the bottom of the night, it's 3-2, the pressure's on the pitcher to strike this guy out, and Curt Schilling,
yep.
He's a color commentator on ESPN, and he's telling me what that pitch is feeling, because he knows.
John Kruk.
These guys know.
And boxing, as Sugar Ray Leonard's calling fights now.
So I'm big into that. Well, like, what's his name? Paulie.
Malignaggi.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he has a great show here on Play, a boxing show. And this guy was a boxer. He's also a color commentator.
Champion.
And he's a Brooklyn boy, by the way. So, of course, you got to put over Paulie. So, but I'm just saying, like, to me, that stuff's vital. And, of course, I have an agenda because that's what I was. You know, as a former competitor, as a former champion. I know how and I know what a champion feels. As good as Corey Graves looks, as good as he sounds, including Saxton, as good as those guys look and sound, because they both sound and look great, that's going to be stuff that, you know, in my opinion, just my opinion, you know, I throw a little flag on that they don't have a body of work or a former or high-level champions. JBL, Booker T, no, you're not saying nothing against these guys.
No.
These guys are credible guys. I'm sorry. And Jerry Lawler, obviously. You know what I mean? So
what can these guys do, though? What can they, like, spend time talking to these guys and try and get in the head of the wrestlers?
Nothing they can do.
Nothing.
Because what they're doing now is what they're supposed to do. They sound great. They are prepared. They did their homework. They're telling friggin' stories the right way. They're getting the characters over. I'm just saying, to get you to that next level, in my opinion, and please, if you're going to bash me, keep in mind, this is just my view. I'm not saying I'm right. As a former wrestler, as a former commentator, as a former world champion, I am just saying, I think that for my taste, I need to hear a guy who's been to the dance for some time to tell me what it's like to be at the dance. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
You know, I think that they're both obviously successful, Graves and Saxton. Graves, I think, is better than Saxton. If I was, let's say, JBL or Booker T or Jerry Lawler all quit today or said I'm retiring, I'd put Corey Graves on Raw in a heartbeat. Of course, he's going to do a great job, you know?
I feel like Saxton kind of comes and goes. He has these waves of energy, and then he comes back, and he comes back in again.
Yeah, you know.
He doesn't keep it up there, you know? He doesn't keep amped up throughout.
They all sound the same. Corey Graves sounds different, but the play-by-play dude, who basically, Alexa Bliss. He called the third person or something. Like, what did he, and Corey Graves corrected him.
Third person?
Yeah, like, I can't remember how he worded it. Like, just the play-by-play, what's his name?
Oh, the guy in the middle. I don't even know.
See, there you go.
I really don't. Yeah, they're nondescript to me.
Yeah,
really,
it's like and from what
I like background to me, honestly.
From what I understand is that you know, Michael Cole is the one who works with these people, and they're falling to him. Okay, well, dude, really? I mean, help these guys. But you know, like,
just, Michael Cole's great doesn't mean he can make them great. You know, it's. You know, I mean, yeah. I know guys are trainable, but you know, you came with your personality, and you learned from other guys. But
I learned from Michael Cole and JR. That's what I learned from.
But you also brought something to the table. Like, you have to have something in you to do it.
Yes,
you can't get blood from a stone.
But there were mistakes that I would make on the air when I was first starting. That Michael Cole, after the show, would tell me, "Hey, don't do this. You did this wrong. Don't do that." Or JR would tell me, or Kevin Dunn. These guys are making those same mistakes I did when I was new. And they keep making them.
Yeah.
So to me, that's like, huh.
And you were able to mask it because you have this big personality and you also have the credibility that you were talking about.
And I'm a big bullshit artist. Yeah. So, of course.
Yes.
No, I'm not. But anyway. No, but look. So, like, you know, again, it's no hate. I don't know Corey Graves. I'm not, no disrespect towards the young man. Again, I feel for the guy that his career was cut short. I know that. And I'm happy for him that he has a second way in life of the business, and good for him. He seems passionate about his job. He's very good at his job. I was just making a state that, you know, if it's tough for him. There's nothing he can do. He's not going to become a world champion now. He's not going to, you know, and again, that doesn't mean I'm right. Guys like Paul Heyman, again, Paul was an excellent commentator, and he's a perfect example of a guy who never was in the ring, you know, but still, who are you going to believe when they break down a match, breaking down a hold, breaking down a big bump? Let's be honest. Who are you going to believe first? Are you going to believe Paul Heyman? What it's like to take that big delayed vertical suplex, or are you going to believe Booker T?
You just reminded me of something. You know? When George Foreman used to call the fights on HBO, he said, "Oh, he definitely broke a rib there," and Lampley questioned him. "What makes you say that, George?"
Because
I've been there.
That's right.
Sure enough, the next day in the paper, that fighter had broken a rib.
There you go.
And he knew.
So. And you know what? Talking about ribs, it's a rib that they make me work with you. So that's a rib.
But one more thing about Samoa Joe.
Yeah, sure.
Before we move on. You said the commentators didn't do right by Corbin, but I think Samoa Joe did. He shined him up. I mean,
I agree. He did.
He made him look really good. And that's what NXT's about. Everybody looks good. All the matches.
Yeah, that's coming from the top. You know, Triple H and whoever the writers are and the agents, they're doing a great job.
Everybody looks good.
They're doing a great job. They really are. And then you saw Bayley, man. They called it one of the co-main events.
Which
you
is know? Cool that they said that.
I think
that.
It is cool. Yeah. I thought it was an amazing match. Unbelievable. Sasha Banks dropped her NXT women's title to Bayley, and I got to tell you, it was awesome. Great, great match. I don't know what else to say about it.
They let it all hang out. They went
tremendous.
For it. And Bayley took a spill off the top. And it made me cringe.
Yeah, she's a tough girl, man.
But she was like so a couple inches away from landing straight on her head.
Yep. No, I know.
That made me nervous.
Yeah. They take chances. They're physical girls. It was just a great moment when she won, and to see Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and like the four women horsemen or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they were saying they were called
it. Them as the four up. Yeah,
yeah. Like you know,
it's cool.
I guess Ric Flair was. I know he was in the audience earlier. Maybe. By the time the girls were in the ring, he might have been backstage because I would think they would have taken a shot of Rick holding up the four towards his daughter and the other three girls, but
yeah.
Rick must have been backstage by then.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I know. I didn't see it.
I'm sure you text with Rick on a daily basis so you could ask him.
I'll ask him right now. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, you guys are at the bar together.
No.
So you're drinking milk and he's drinking straight whiskey.
Yeah. I'm drinking milk with my son at home.
Yeah. So, no, but I thought it was awesome. I really did. I enjoyed the match. Kudos to Sasha Banks.
Tough girls,
excellent, man. Just Bayley, just awesome, awesome, awesome. Really, really enjoyed it. I mean, and you know, it's good to take the belt off Sasha Banks because she's in the Team Bad thing, you know, so on the main roster. And I guess eventually we all got to stop calling it the main roster. It's just the Raw roster, right? I guess that's what it is.
Bayley looks like the girl next door, and it was cool that she paid tribute to Dusty Rhodes.
I tell you what, I never had girls that lived next door to me that looked like her, but it was cool that she did that, by the way.
Yeah, the polka dots, yeah, very cool.
I thought that was very cool. Good pointing that out. The main event, Finn Balor, ladder match against Kevin Owens. And, you know, Balor, am I saying his name wrong? I love Finn. It's
Balor.
Balor. I said Balor. It's Balor.
Hey, you're Brooklyn. You get away with it.
Yeah, no. But Finn's my man. I love Finn. And he won the match over Kevin Owens in a ladder match that did not disappoint. Had so many crazy spots in it. Both men busted their asses. Finn retains his NXT title with the coup de grace off the top of the ladder.
That was high up there, man.
Now, here's an example, guys. Again, I'm going to go back to it. So start hating. If you listen to the announcing when this happens, I want all you to do something when you have time. Listen to the live call of the announcers when Finn came off the top of that ladder with the coup de grace, both double foot stomp on the abdomen of Kevin Owens. Listen to how it was undersold by the announcers. Undersold. That's a huge, huge spot that cost Kevin Owens to lose the match.
That's amazing because...
Let me finish, please.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. And then I want you to go listen to the B-roll, which is the recall of what happened last night that was on SummerSlam. Let me back up. Pretend this is SummerSlam when I say last night. Tonight's Sunday. Listen to Michael Cole, JBL, and Jerry Lawler. Listen to them call the B-roll of what happened when Finn did the coup de grace off the top of the ladder. Listen to the excitement and the sense of urgency and the danger between the three commentators on the Raw roster compared to the way the live call was done. And then you'll see my point about the announcing difference.
I remember you told me when you were doing it that you didn't know everything that was going to happen.
You don't know. These guys, I think they know.
It seems like they do.
It seems contrived, like they're in the meetings or something, and they shouldn't be.
Because that's what Joey Styles, that's what's so great about him. Oh. His reaction was like,
Joey was,
oh my God. And it was
the man.
It was really, oh my God.
Yeah, it was just, JR was one of the only guys that I've, well, today too. Today was a little different. JR, he could be in the meetings and know everything. And just on the air, just sound amazing. It was JR.
He did his job. I mean,
and then some, you know. But again, these guys have to learn. And it's just, I'm just saying, that's to me, as an announcer, you know, I always try to, when someone is going to lose the match, especially a big match, my job is to build up why and how. And the urgency of what just happened and why this guy lost, that didn't happen, in my opinion, live on an NXT show.
As a fan, I don't even remember. So that's
there you go.
It's like nondescript.
But it jumped out to me like just someone throwing a 50-pound red salmon in my face, which happened to me once.
Did that happen?
No. That when I heard the Michael Cole and crew call the B-roll, the footage of the night previous, I'm saying, like on Raw. On SummerSlam when they talked about NXT last night, if that makes any sense. I feel like I'm doing the whole suplex T-bone explanation again.
Oh, boy. And the arm goes around the waist to the leg, and you grab the toes, and you turn, and you grab the ear, and you pull it back.
Need a GPS to get around Taz's commentary on this.
Easy pass, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Easy pass, bro. So, anyway, yeah, I thought the match. Did you like the match with Finn and Owens?
These are two of my favorite wrestlers, period. And the reason why they are is because I don't recall ever seeing these guys have a bad match with anybody.
Yeah, well,
and you put them two together, and it's you know,
yeah, these guys don't need to be protected in any way, shape, or form. They're both tremendous, for sure. And then we saw Kevin Owens come in last night and go at it with Cesaro, which we'll get into on the other side of the break because we're going to cover SummerSlam. And that was it. So congrats to the NXT crew. I thought everybody did an excellent job, and I enjoyed the show for the most part.
Awesome.
And it seems like you did too, Seth.
Yeah.
As long as we got Seth to sign off on it, we're good.
Yeah, you guys keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you. You know,
very proud of you. That's very nice.
Triple H, good job.
All right.
All you guys, good hard work. Thank you.
Awesome.
Keep
awesome.
It up.
So, is there anything else? I think that was it as far as that. That's it. So on the other side of the break, we will cover SummerSlam. Sit tight. I'm Taz. I got Seth here chatting up with me. We'll be right back.
All right, look, I got to go take a break right now. Hold on. Wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
All right, we know it's that time that you got to talk about my crew, my boys over at DraftKings, because it's basically just around the corner. The NFL season's here. All the preseason games are going. camp is rocking and rolling. There's a lot going on, and you could start your season by winning $2 million in week one of DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Seth, I know you're big. I know you're big in DraftKings.
I love DraftKings. DraftKings was all over SummerSlam yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I was very impressed. Yeah, it's one-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's like a brand new season every time you play. You just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash. That's it. You're good.
And if you want to win $2 million, do not draft Jordy Nelson. Jordy, unfortunately, he tore his ACL, and that really sucks for fantasy guys and DraftKings guys.
I get my fantasy, a lot of my fantasy advice from Professor Vegas, Mike Tenay, who's a big DraftKings guy also.
And he's a good friend of yours. That's what
of course. Him.
But now, everyone can get that advice from Professor Vegas.
Yes, that's right. And
download the show.
And you got to get on if you get on that advice from Professor Vegas also from DraftKings. So, look, you've already been scouting players for your season-long fantasy team, right? You know what you want to do. You got your crew. You're all set. I guess so. Put that knowledge to the test every week this football season at DraftKings.com, where you can turn your love into football for a lifetime of cash. So, look, hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use the code TAZ to play for free, guys. That's code TAZ, Taz, to play for free for a shot at $2 million in week one millionaire maker, baby. Enter TAZ, Taz, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right. Welcome back to Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz. I got Seth, my producer, jumping in and out of here. We already reviewed the NXT TakeOver from Brooklyn show. We're going to get into SummerSlam in a minute. Also at the top of our show here, we talked about the gigantic news of the debut on September 14th of the Taz Show. Live daily, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. On play.it, radio.com. We'll be plugging it for the next few weeks. Different spots you can find it. Streaming live, and it will podcast right after the show goes live. So for those on the West Coast or out of the country, you can still hear the Taz Show every single day, Monday through Friday, starting September 14th. That's big news. Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Nah,
should be. No, we had a good trial run. We're good.
Oh, yeah?
I thought we did all right with the week in Boomer and Carton.
What, do you got a mouse in your pocket? What is this wee crap?
Wee. I was there.
Yeah, you were there. There was a lot of people there.
All right. You did well, and we observed. Yes. You're the man, Taz.
I just hope that you don't drop the ball, you know, because we're going to be live every day, dude. And you know what? You know, it's like, I don't want you to come out and just screw up, and then I got to yell at you on the air.
People
and,
love that, though. You're dying. That's why you want me on the show. Do you think I'm stupid? I know why you want me on the show.
No, I think so you're stupid in general.
Exactly. That's why you want me on the show.
No, you're far from stupid. You're ugly, but you're not stupid. All right, so anyway.
Great.
All right, SummerSlam for the BK, baby, from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It was long. It was a long show, and 4 hours. A lot of people ripping and railing on that main event finish. We'll get into that in a little while. As an overview of the show, I got to say, I liked the show. I did not hate the show. I didn't love it. I thought it was a good show.
I think some people are hating on it a little too hard.
I think so.
The wrestlers worked real hard. And
they did. You know, the talent worked real hard, and there was a lot of good finishes.
You know what also made me think about? Like when UFC or boxing has like a pay-per-view of Mayweather-Pacquiao, they got one good match. You know, there's like one or two good matches. And when you have wrestling, you expect every match to be
five-star. There's a level of expectation.
Yes.
You know what? When you were paying $50-$60 a clip, I could get that. But for the most part, people are spending $9.99 a month on this network. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck. We've went over this.
Definitely.
You know? I mean, you really are. So, but that doesn't mean that the creative team and the company should screw around with finishes. I don't think you should do. I tweeted on one of the finishes. It was like a Raw finish. I'm trying to remember the match now.
But, I know which one. Ziggler.
Ziggler, thank you. That's right. But anyway, it kicked off with Jon Stewart coming out, doing his thing, right? And Mick coming out. Nice. That was about, I think, might have been one of the only real surprises for me was Mick, which was nice to see Mick. Mick's the man. Mick's been on the show here with me. And
that is funny.
Love Mick. It was good. Good stuff for sure. And then, boom, right into the action. You want to go with Randy Orton and Sheamus. I mean, look, I like this match. I think both these guys work really well together. They complement each other's style. You know, Sheamus won the match with the bro kick.
And that was a surprise.
Two bro kicks, basically. Yeah, it was a surprise. You're right.
Clean and he right in the middle of the ring.
When I meant surprise, I meant like people showing up. Like, that's what I meant, like surprises.
Yes.
No, you understand? Like you said, that was a surprise. Like, I wasn't saying, when I said Mick Foley showed up, it was a surprise. Different type of surprise.
Yes.
I'm not talking about finishes and surprises. Are you following a bouncing ball here, bro, or what?
You said Sheamus won with double bro kick. I said that was a surprise to me. It was a surprise.
You know, I agree with you.
All right.
But that's not the type of surprises I'm talking about.
I understand. I wasn't talking about that surprise. I was talking about this surprise. It's a different surprise.
Surprisingly enough, I'm not yelling at you right now. Anyway,
you're in a real good mood. Probably last for another 5-6 minutes.
Well, it's a big day. The announcement dropped. Big news. The Taz Show. Nyah, nyah, nyah. You know, that's a little. I did a little cotton there for a minute. He does, what does he do? He does the. Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, Yeah. So Orton wins the. I'm sorry. Sheamus wins the match. Thought it was really good. I really enjoyed the match. Like I said, both these guys are professionals. Total credibility here on both these cats. Big, rugged, fast athletes that know what they're doing, are used to being in a high-profile main event situation. You could tell. You could sense it. True professionals. Love the match. I don't care who won the match.
But solid.
Yeah, Sheamus won it. Great way to kick it off. I mean, if you're Randy Orton, if you're not going to be the main event, you want to be the first match. The first entrance, always going to get like an insane reaction. It's a great moment. You earn that first reaction. That's not something that's just given. Back in the day, early day, if you were the first match, it was like, you know, it's like Jabba City. No. You want to be that first entrance. That's a good spot. And you get done. You get done by friggin' whatever, 8:30, and you're done. You're on your way. You get yourself a calzone over down the block at a pizzeria by Barclays, and you're good.
You want to lock down Jabba City.
Jabba City.
No, that's like you gotta grab that IP.
Oh, what, Jabba City?
Like Suplex City. That's good.
Why? Because it's you?
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to make money. I'm trying
because
to
because you. It's your ego.
My ego?
Do you want me to trademark out of the clear blue? When did I say Jabba City?
You just said it.
I don't even know what I say. Did I just say it?
You just said it. And it triggered me. I was like, say, you like to say triggered me. And, you know, so I can picture T-shirts like Brock's, except be Jabba City.
It's not bad, actually. Yeah. So I should trademark this.
Take me down to Jabba City.
Oh, my God. Please stop the pain. So, boom. New Day promo. Oh. I liked it. I thought it was hilarious, bro.
Love it.
They're clean, bro. They're clean. Yeah. I thought it was great. The pitch pipe, the whole thing. I really did. It did the Jay-Z. What's the song? New York.
Yeah. Empire State of Mind.
That's the one. What's her name? Sang with
Alicia Keys.
Yeah, Tomato. Yeah, I thought it was really funny. I thought the promo was great. These three guys, the New Day, they're tremendous. They're just tremendous.
And they went over the crowd quick.
They did, because they were funny. They were entertaining. They respected, man. It's good stuff. You know, just in Jay-Z's building, he's saying, who was it? It was Kofi saying that Jay-Z tried to get this right. I remember. But it was great in the promo that Jay-Z tried to get the song
They were making fun of hip-hop did not start.
Yeah. It didn't start in New York. That was awesome. it was great. I really loved the promo. Whoever wrote it, whoever had something to do with it, good job.
And Biggie's gyrating it. It's like, I don't want to see it, but I can't turn away.
But he's funny, man. He's funny.
They're having a good time.
I played football with a guy that he reminds me of in the locker room. The guy was like that all the time when I was in high school. He acted just like him. So I think of that guy all the time when I see him. It's pretty funny. But it was primetime players, New Day, Los Matadores, and the Lucha Dragons. And that's who competed in this matchup, you know, for the tag team titles. And obviously, I think the announcers did a good job painting the primetime players that they're in a no-win situation here. You know, they're in trouble. The odds are against them, you know, because they have to defend their titles against three teams.
And they don't have to get pinned or submit to lose the titles.
That's correct, Amundo. And basically, the New Day wins the thing. They had a little controversy. Good job with the replay. And I think it was JBL pointed it out that the blind tag was made by Kofi tagged himself into the matchup.
On Titus.
And yeah. I thought the announcers did a good job before they saw the replay, kind of like dipping and dodging, hemming and hawing, which is hard to do. Well, I don't know. Was he legal? Was he not? I thought that was done really well. You got a lot of bodies in this match, a lot of different types of styles. And I thought all the men, all four teams, I loved it. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a real good match.
Fast-paced.
Fast-paced, good stuff. No blown spots. No botched spots.
Oh, I got in trouble. I got in trouble for that.
Botched. No, I'm going to have my man from Botchamania.
Yeah.
Not a few. We're going to have him on, man. I was talking with him a little bit. And so I have nothing against him. I'll talk to him about it on the air.
I guess would you say to it?
I like the Botchamania stuff. I think it's great.
I'm just
saying,
it's
funny.
Say, I know.
I've made it. I think I've been on there. I don't care.
You never botched a spot.
Commentary. We all botch commentary. What are you laughing at, you schmuck? What are you laughing at? You sitting there, I'll throw this coffee right at you.
Why would you do that?
Because you just annoy me. Well, you snicker. I don't like snickering. I'm not worried. You want to laugh, otherwise don't.
I'm not worried. It's iced coffee. Go ahead.
You're a man. So, we're going to have man from Botchamania on. It's going to be good. We'll have fun. Once we get the Taz show going, and we're live daily, we're going to have him on. We've got a lot of people on here. A lot of different people.
Will he get the hotline number or no?
Oh, yeah, why not? Right. I don't care. I'll give him a hotline number. I don't care. You can give it out. You can tweet the hotline number.
Oh, No.
Oh, jeez. All right. So, boom. New Day wins the match. Did you like the match as much as me or what?
It was good. I mean, these guys have done this like 100 times already, the same four teams, it feels like. But it's still good.
That makes it even harder. I have to change your spot.
I love the finish.
Me too. Yeah. That was great. All the way around. Good stuff. Then we saw Rusev and Ziggler. You know, Rusev had Summer with him, and obviously Ziggler had Lana without the business suit. Flag being thrown.
I was happy. We saw more of her.
A lot of people were a little disappointed in that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Really?
So, yeah.
Besides you and your dog, who else?
No, a lot of people. I just saw some tweets. I saw tweets. That's what I'm telling you.
All right.
But anyway, this is where there was a little bit of a problem. This is where I tweeted there was a Raw finish, I believe, right?
Yep.
Double count out city. Girls get to a little cat fight. Flag being thrown. 15-yard penalty. You're doing a Raw finish on a big pay-per-view like this. I don't know about that.
I agree.
I don't think that's a good move. I think that if like I said, if you had Jon Stewart come out and tweeted this and say, restart the match, let's go,
that would have
got
cool.
A good pop. But it makes sense why they didn't do that, because Jon Stewart came out in a bigger spot later, which we'll get into.
Yes,
he did. That's why they might not have had Jon Stewart come out and do that. I don't know. I guess they just didn't know who to beat here. And it seems like that happened in the show elsewhere besides here. So I don't think it was good not to have a true finish. Do you agree or not from a fan perspective?
I concur.
Yes.
Doctor?
I liked the match.
No, those guys are great workers.
Another match that I liked. Yeah. I mean, I thought they did the stuff with Summer and Lana. Not too much. It was just enough because they didn't ignore it. I think they did the right thing with that. You know, I liked that.
Yep.
I did. The thing that's weird, like from a romantic standpoint, right? Like, you know, we talk about romance a lot in here, you know? Not really, but...
For Valentine's Day show, though.
What was it? Lana dumped Rusev or Rusev dumped... They kind of... It was like a mutual dumping, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so...
But Rusev still has the hots for Lana.
No, I know that. But Lana, why would Lana be mad at Summer? Like, if you don't care about the dude, what do you care about the new chick?
Well, she's disrespectful.
Oh, Summer is.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Summer is disrespectful.
This is why I go to you for my romantic advice.
Yes. See, you have to respect, you know.
You're like Chuck Woolley, bro.
Even when people break up, still the next person's always pissed off anyway. All the ego, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of ego. I dumped her, but why is my friend dating her now? I was like,
but you can't do that.
Well, you got to ask permission.
Well, you can't. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But you can't. You can't.
Like, bro, you're done. You mind if
can't go. You know, dogs... When a dog urinates, you don't go urinate with the same dog urinate. You respect that area. You know what I mean? You just don't. It's a bad analogy, but
all right, there goes that sponsorship. 1-800 Flowers.
So, anyway.
When a dog pees, that means you got to break up.
Get a cat. They go in a little box. And we're done. Boom. All right. So then you got Stardust and King Barrett against Neville and Steve Amell. Got to tell you, one of the superstars of the night was Steve Amell.
Yeah.
This guy was a lot better than I thought he was going to be, I got to tell you.
He handled himself
I knew he'd be
well.
Good. He had great athletic background, obviously. And then JBL, one of the guys covered that. He had a rugby background, American football background. You can see he's obviously an athlete, does his own stunts in the green. He's Arrow. but I was wrong. I think this is a moment of that I have to admit here on the HPM right here. This will never happen again. I was wrong.
You got to say it like Fonzie. I was
Fonzie. He means Arthur Fonzarelli, yes. Folks. Not
your paisans.
Yeah. From Happy Days. He's showing his age. That show's only about 90 years old. I was wrong. The heat was on Steve Amell. You don't even know what I was wrong about.
Huh?
Exactly.
You're wrong. You thought Steve was going to think up the joint.
No. There's such a... See now? Here we go. This is the problem. This is going to be a problem on the Taz Show once we're live every day because, yeah, I'm not going to let you have a microphone.
Okay.
Dude, I said on a preview show...
Yes.
...of SummerSlam that we did here, I said that I felt like the Heat, the bad guys would be beating up on Neville the whole match, and then I think I said this, didn't I? And then the tag would be made... to Steve Amell to come in and shine up and bump the bad guys around. Didn't I say something like that?
Yeah, it was the other way around, though.
What happened. That's why I was wrong.
All right, now I get it.
The way the Taz, now I get it. After you explain the whole thing, Taz, now I got it.
Thank you.
I also was a little disappointed that, listen, this Green Arrow guy, can we check on the Googles? Doesn't this guy wear a costume on TV or something?
Is
it like a Green Lantern costume or something? I don't know. I don't think he does
much of a costume on the show.
He looked like a stumble bum in what he was wearing yesterday.
I don't like the hoodie thing.
It's in good shape, good body, but he's got the hoodie thing. But wear green. You're the freaking Green Arrow. I want to see green.
Yeah, Stardust is all dressed
up. I want to see green.
What's his name? Has the cape?
Yeah, wear
Neville.
Green.
Yeah.
Otherwise, be the Black Arrow. He's wearing black. The Black Arrow. I mean, really, I just like what? Wear green or wear something that with the arrow, the suit. Can you Google the Green Arrow?
Okay.
Let's see if he wears a costume on the TV show, because I don't watch the show. But anyways...
I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, you do. No costume. I was a little surprised at that and not wearing the green. But at the end of the day, Neville ends up getting the victory, the pin on Barrett. But we saw Steve Amell do some really good stuff here. It was impressive. His selling sucked. But hey, some of us have made a living in the business by selling sucky. And that'd be me. But anyway.
He wears a green hoodie with a little eye mask, you know?
Yeah. He don't wear like a costume.
It's kind of like a costume. He could wear the eye thing, like the Hurricane used to
wear.
Don't
wear like the Fantastic Four, like a jumpsuit, no, like Kill Bill.
No jumpsuit. No, it's like a hoodie, kind of like it looks like
a Green Arrow. You got to wear like a green jumpsuit, like something like Kill Bill. The chick, what's her name?
Uma Nation Duma.
Like she wore the yellow thing. Like that's what you got to wear, the Green Arrow, green one with a black stripe.
Should have brought his arrows in too. Should have shot. Like,
you
got to
bring an arrow. Yeah. You're the Green IQ. Thank you. Bring an arrow. Shoot an arrow at
like
somebody.
Nerf. Like do Nerf. You know.
I like Steve Amell. He's very good. But you know what? You can't sell, and you got to wear green. Otherwise. I couldn't sell.
Yeah, and you were orange and black.
I was a world champion.
Yeah.
And I did wear orange and black.
There was some no-selling later in this SummerSlam, too, we could talk about.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I liked it. Did you like the match, the tag team match?
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear your opinion.
Hey, you know what? Neville is, like, on another speed than anybody else.
He's a freak, dude. The guy's amazing.
He moves like he should be the Flash.
Yeah, no, you're right. He is amazing, man.
He moves at it like he almost blurs the TV.
And what's happening with this guy, you know, and they're using him right. They don't oversaturate him, but we see him enough on TV or people that watch him on NXT. And that's what happens as a wrestling fan will get a sense of entitlement or they get so trained and conditioned to watch a guy and see what this guy can physically do. And it's... They just blow it off. Like, oh, yeah, no, he just did like some crazy triple Lindy flip off the Schnabitz Furnham top rope and it looked amazing doing it. Next. And they just blow it off because you're so used to it. It's amazing what this guy does. I mean, this guy is just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. I've never seen anyone move as fast as he moves in the ring.
He is just his. I don't know what to say. The guy is just unbelievable. Really unbelievable. But anyway, and Barrett, I think, is great. I don't know. I got to tell you, I don't know if I would have pinned Barrett here. Just my opinion. I like King Barrett. I like Barrett, Wade Barrett. I think he's great. I think it don't matter. No one's going to remember who won the match, per se. But, you know.
The King of the Ring used to be like a stepping stone to bigger and better things. And like the last few years, I feel like the Kings of the Ring have kind of lost a lot of matches. It's almost like a curse.
You should do one called Jabba of the Studio instead of King of the Ring. Where you go around the CBS corporate office here and arm wrestle all these guys that never lifted a weight in their life. You ever see when I walk around the halls today? I feel like a freak. When I walk around these halls, it's so quiet and corporate. I got to run down to the head. Or I run down and I get a cup of coffee.
You are a freak.
And I walk around. I feel like I'm a giant man. And I'm all of like, 5'11". You know, and...
What?
No, but I feel like
boots on?
These people, they're wearing these suits. These guys are wearing a suit that's like a 40. I wore a 40 when I was in sixth grade.
All right.
I mean, like, really, it's like these guys are little. You know, like, I walk around and look at these people, and they look at me. Hi, Taz. You know, like, hi.
You're kind of scary.
Yeah, I don't belong. It's weird.
You're like,
surreal.
I don't belong here.
But I really don't. I feel, and everybody's so nice to me here, and they treat me good, but I think when I leave, they're all like, phew, thank God he's out of here. You know?
That's what I do.
Is there like a party thrown when I leave?
Kind of.
That's nice.
No, it's just a sigh. It's just a...
I heard the people around here, it was going to be a daily show every morning. People quitting in droves, I heard. They don't want to be around me.
Well, what'll that happen?
That's the rumor. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I heard. Just saying.
I'm looking.
So anyway, Neville ends up getting the victory over Barrett. Excellent job by all four guys, especially Steve Amell. The guy was not a pro. He obviously, they trained him to do these spots. They trained him the right way.
Stardust is absolutely crazy, too. I love it. Nuts.
Yeah, no, he's so entertaining. He's just nuts. He don't even know.
He's like
he don't even think
about
it. He's just reacting. He there's no way he's thinking of that stuff ahead of time. The dude is just totally, totally crazy. Then the next match kind of, it just felt like it had no buzz on it. It was the IC title match. You know, any kind of title match with Ryback, Big Show, and The Miz, you know. Ryback wins the match. He pinned The Miz off the Big Show knockout, and they utilized the knockout stuff a couple times with the Big Show, which I thought was in the match. It was pretty good. A couple of false finish there. And one knockout on Ryback, I thought maybe Big Show was going to win a match, to tell you the truth.
Looked like it. But I love The Miz going back and forth. That was kind of funny. That was funny.
Yeah. But I just there was something missing in the match. I don't know if the chemistry's there between these three guys. For me, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I think it's three totally different guys. I think it's just hard to pull off.
I remember a time when the IC title was just literally what the U.S. title is now. I mean, it was that important, you know.
Well, they tried to bring it up with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and then Unfortunately he got hurt.
He got hurt, yeah. Good point. So, I think, look. I liked it. It was okay. I mean, but if this match, like, it wasn't like a memorable match for me. For you know, and again, they put a little build into the match. You know, past few weeks with Ryback, Big Show, and Miz. You know, and I don't know. It was all right.
Fans are rooting for Miz. It's cool.
Yeah, because he's entertaining. He's different. He's you know, people like Ryback too, though.
Oh my God! Every single person is yelling, "Feed me more."
Yeah, no, I know. They love him. I mean, so it's like there's something about him. People connect to him. I gotta tell you, I thought that was really cool. They went to a backstage bit. I don't know if it was live or pre-tape, whatever it was, with Jon Stewart. You know, and the announcers built it up right that he was walking to go knock on the door and confront Brock Lesnar. I thought that was really cool about Brock Lesnar, you know, killing the undefeated streak of the Undertaker. And we saw a great exchange between Heyman and Jon Stewart, which I thought was excellent. I mean, these are two guys you never would think would, you know, they're both great talkers and you know, New York guys, you know what I mean? And they're highly, super highly entertaining. I don't know if they know each other. I have no idea. But the chemistry between these two were great.
Well, it was great how Heyman was very respectful and yes, sir, and all of a sudden it flipped.
If you watch Paul's face while Stewart's going off with his promo, Paul's facial expressions are great. So it made me laugh because I know him, you know. But I enjoyed the whole thing. And then the zinger that Heyman hit him with I guess we couldn't get John Letterman. That was a great
David
one.
David Letterman.
I'm sorry. I meant John, his cousin.
Any Letterman.
Yeah, some kind of a letterbox.
Varsity Letterman.
Oh, that's John Letterbox, not David Letterman. Right. Yeah, it was a great line, the David Letterman line. It really was. I thought it was all awesome. And you see now, this is what a lot of folks don't realize. That was just a great, and throughout the promo that Jon Stewart did, this is great writing here, guys. And a lot of you guys are burying the show, but you're not thinking because you might just not realize. And now if I say this, some people will go out and do podcasts and shows and act like they came up with this, but they didn't. But they set the table here with Jon Stewart the right way by with the babyface attitude. with the pass with Seth Rollins, all that stuff, and then knocking on the door, getting in Heyman's face, getting pissed at Brock, all that stuff, John Stewart, Ultimate Babyface, he's got his kid there, all this stuff, sees The Undertaker walk by, he's scared, Ultimate Babyface, 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 and then later on when he did the turn, which we'll get into, they set the table, it's good stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Good stuff.
It's smart writing, you didn't think of that.
Me, no, I didn't think of that. No, I didn't think about John Stewart getting involved in the world title match. No, I didn't come up with that.
No, that's not what I mean. Ah. So, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper versus Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Another match I just couldn't get into. I got to be honest with you.
I just feel like, you know, it's the same old, same old. Like, you've seen it. The guy's all working hard. Nothing to take away from it. They're all good workers.
Wild match. They did a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, Reigns won the match. He beat Bray with the spear. But, I mean, it was wild. They did a lot of crazy stuff. But you're right. It's like they... You know,
I feel like I don't know. I feel like Roman Reigns is a little contrived to me. It's like the whole I don't know. It just there's something about it. It's just you know, I think he's obviously super talent, great look.
Yep.
But I just feel like he hasn't gotten there yet where he's totally natural and in the zone. I feel like everything's kind of set up and like you're going for those spots. Oh, now I'm gonna put my fist down. I'm gonna load up my Superman punch, and he did like 9 Superman punches in a row. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, dude.
Bray and Luke, I think, are badass. I like to see them getting more involved. Like, there's some good tag teams starting to get hot again. It'd be cool to see them get involved in that as well.
It would be. I think you're right about that. I think I agree with a lot of stuff you just said. I definitely do. I don't know what it is like with Roman Reigns. It's just something that he's got everything. He's got the look. He's got the size. He's got the ability. He's got the history. He's got the push. He's got the legacy of his family. There's just a little bit of a connection, I guess, that maybe isn't there. But you know what? When his music hits, there's a massive reaction. As long as that happens, he's a made guy.
Oh, yeah.
He is a made guy, you know?
No doubt.
You know, and that's...
I think he'll... Well, he's also still relatively young to the business, and not everybody's on the same pace or same path. So I think he'll get there, too. I think he'll get there where he's very comfortable. I mean, look at John Cena's career. I look at where twists and turns that's taken in the evolving of his character.
Dude, I sat there. I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it when John first started. I'll get into that down the road, but I heard the burials. Not from wrestlers either. I heard where this guy's got nothing. Yeah.
10 years later, he's carrying
the
company.
Stay tuned for the Taz Show, folks. Oh. You're going to hear a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man. I love getting that inside info from you.
Yeah, you know how it is. So, anyway, that was the deal. Like I said, Reigns defeated Bray Wyatt with the spear. We'll see how they come back with something tonight here on Raw, I'm sure. Wild match, like I said. It was a good match, but it was just, you know, whatever. We hit it on it. Then we had title versus title. John Cena, U.S. champ, versus Rollins, WWE champ. Awesome build-up to this thing. I mean, sent it back to the knee to the face by Rollins to Cena, and then he was out for a while. Cena came back, all the stuff, yada, yada. These guys busted their ass, in my opinion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just busted their ass. It was great.
To the conclusion that there's nothing that Seth Rollins can't do in the ring.
Man, oh, man, the dude is just... tremendous. I mean, it reminded me a lot of stuff he did, like it was Tyler Black days in Ring of Honor. But yeah, just off the chain. The dude is amazing,
and he saves it. He saves.
Came out rocking
things.
The white costume. Though. I had to bury him a little bit. My man, come on, you're looking like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever. That's what I said in Brooklyn.
Well, you and I are too old for Power Rangers. That's what everybody else was
saying.
Yeah,
I know. And then someone was posting pictures about it. But no, it was great to see someone not wear black. To be honest with you, so it was cool to see him in white. But you know, I had a little fun with it. But he's great. I got nothing but mad respect for the guy.
Unbelievable.
He is just great, great, great. And John Cena is catching him on all the stuff. He's there. I've been in that role working guys with Sabu and Van Damme and those guys, and I've been on that other end. You don't get the hype credit on it, but you're the guy who's catching these guys and doing that stuff. And Rollins is a big dude, and Cena ate a lot of those bumps and did the right thing. You know, I thought that the knee into the referee being down, and then the John Stewart thing coming out, and I liked it. I did. I'm going to tell you why I liked it. Because, like I said earlier, they set the table. It was different. You heard the live audience. They liked it. I don't care what people say. They popped. You know, maybe just because he hit
Cena.
I guess that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, but I liked it because you didn't expect it. It kind of, you know what I mean? When he came out initially, I was like, oh, God, please stop. But when he got in the ring, and then once he did the actual turn, Michael Cole did a good job of planting the seed real quick. It hit his head. It reminded him that, hey, Rollins and John Stewart have a history. Because to be honest with you, I forgot about that.
Oh, no, yeah. He got over on Rollins.
I totally forgot about that. And Michael Cole reminded you, which he did a good job of.
Yep.
But I liked it. I mean, you know what? Kill me. But I did. I liked it. I thought it was entertaining. I don't think like a lot of people where they stop bashing stuff for bashing it. I mean, that's like the only surprise they really had on the show. I mean, there was no surprise except for Mick coming out the top. I mean, and I said that in the pre-show. Is there any surprises? Is everybody safe? It's all safe stuff.
Here's my problem with
nothing.
Here's my problem with this Jon Stewart thing. Cena's taking all these crazy moves from Seth Rollins. He's flipping, jumping on him, slamming him. What did he do? He did a superplex into a powerbomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nothing's stopping him. Then this little 5'7", this guy who I could probably throw around.
I think you can, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Comes in with a chair and gives him a little chair shot, and that's going to... Like,
no, but wait.
We'll set up the pedigree on the chair.
Well, of course. That's but that's the best part, where that popped. I'm sitting watching. Oh, I wish I was sitting with one of the boys, because we were just dying, but I wasn't. When Jon Stewart... I'm laughing for a lot of reasons. He hits him, he guts Cena with the chair, and then he leaves with the friggin' chair. And then he realizes, wait, they need the chair for the guy to fucking do the pedigree. Oh, God. And he runs back and puts the chair down. Seth Rollins' face was tremendous when he watched him put the chair back. I don't know if someone must have yelled, or I could still see the timekeeper. I could imagine pointing, put the chair back. Because that's what happens when you get a guy who don't know what he's doing. He's not a pro. And he took the chair, then he put the chair back for the pedigree. I thought that was funny. But no, I think that protects Cena in a way, and you're getting your victory. If John Cena would have won a match, the place would have rioted. It would have been insane. So and, especially in Brooklyn.
And Seth proved himself to be, like, you know,
he's got both titles now.
Yeah, but he proved himself to be a tremendous wrestler. And even though he comes across as a cowardly champion, he's no coward.
The guy's great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
The guy's great. So I did enjoy that. I mean,
the match was great.
But I see your point about the finish. That's, I respect that. I think a lot of fans would agree with your point.
I would rather see Mick Foley do it.
Well. That's,
you
know, true.
A guy who can actually hit you.
But there's no history with Mick and Seth like there is with Jon Stewart.
You know, maybe he's just doing it for the fans.
Maybe he's not. And then we saw the Bellas, Alicia Fox, Team Bad, which is Sasha Banks. What was that? Naomi and Tamina.
Tamina.
You say Tamina. And PCB, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. Man, you know, it was good. This was good. These girls worked hard, man.
You down with PCB?
Down with PCP. Team Bad eliminated Nikki and pinned Tamina.
Jesus.
Real marketable name.
Miss Snuka.
And then Paige, a nasty bump on the outside, bro, that Alabama slam. I used to do that same spot out of the corner. But Bob Holly made it famous, and I used to call Joey Styles called the Concrete Crash.
Ouch.
Yeah, same bump, but it's nasty.
And Naomi did a flip out of the ring. It looked like she landed on
her
head.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, my bad.
So the head bounce.
Who also looked good in this match, who gets overshadowed sometimes for some reason, she shouldn't, because she's actually very, very talented, is Alicia Fox. She's very good. She's underrated, I feel. I mean, I'm a fan of her work. She does a good job. She's very intense, got those long legs, very athletic, you know.
Looks good.
She does. She looks great. The double boot spot with Alicia Fox and Charlotte, speaking of Alicia Fox, was amazing.
That was cool.
I sat there like, whoa! I'm like, wow, I thought both these girls got hurt. I mean, it was that good. The long hair and all that stuff, it looked good the way they did the spot. I really, that little spot to me jumped out to me.
That's why female wrestling is on the way up, because back in the day, it was a little slower and it wouldn't have looked as good.
Correct.
That was a full speed.
And PCB won with Becky Lynch with a pump handle, not into a suplex, but a slam. Interesting that she didn't turn it into a suplex, because she used to do it with a suplex. I wonder what happened there. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Might have been a little on the fly.
Maybe. Wouldn't be the first wrestler that got curbed from doing a lot of suplexing.
Bree's like, Bree Moan! Dropkick miss.
You totally went right over your head. So
no, I missed it. Go ahead.
Totally went right over your head.
My bad.
You're so worried about having one-liners as the producer, instead of worried about my audio sounds horrible every show.
It does?
Not really. No, I said, forget it, you missed it. Fans that listened to me heard it. Then we're going to go into, what?
I'll mute me on the edit.
Okay, Kevin Owens, Cesaro. Okay, look, this was great. Kevin Owens and Cesaro, you didn't like it?
No, not really.
Why?
I'm kidding, those guys are awesome.
I was just saying, this match was so physical.
Beating the crap out of each other.
Pop-up powerbomb, boom, Kevin Owens wins. I got to be honest, I thought Cesaro was going to win.
How many?
I did.
Kevin's been losing a lot lately.
Yeah, but he keeps his heat.
Yeah.
And I know he lost the night before at NXT to Finn, but, and again, this is the match where they showed the B-roll, and the announcer did a good job of saying Kevin Owens might not be 100%. So they did a good job. They hooked me a little bit that maybe Cesaro will win because they set the table, because if Kevin Owens lost, it was because of what happened against Finn. Baylor. So I and this is the match where if you watch the beginning, they showed a ladder spot from NXT. You could hear Michael Cole and company cover it
like
better
pros.
The right way. Yeah,
like pros. Yep. Well, in a match like this, the guys are so competitive, and so, you know, there is no loser in the match. I mean, those guys are you know, two
totally
animals.
Agree. Totally agree.
And Cesaro, like, you don't really—he's a big guy and strong guy, but he's also very athletic. And
oh man, he's fast. The way he ran around that ring, I mean, he does things that late in the match. When your cardio and your body, your lactic acid's building up in your body, you're starting to burn out and get, you know, you're selling here, and you're getting a little burnt in the ring, this guy just goes into a whole nother gear. He is a special athlete, man. I mean, really, really, really.
Thoroughbred.
Really. And he wears Suzuki's towel on the way out. He looks great. So
his name's on the towel, so it's his towel.
Yeah, oh, I know. So anyway. The guy looked great. I mean, the guy looked great. He's excellent. I think Cesaro is definitely tremendous. Kevin Owens, too. Love this match. I don't know what else to say. I mean,
from a physical standpoint, is it safe? Is it fair to say or argue that this is some of the WWE talent is as high as it's ever been from a physical standpoint?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, totally agree with that.
The athletes, I mean.
Totally agree with that. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Totally agree. And it's just getting better. Like guys like Apollo Crews, you know, from NXT, just for example, off the top of my head. Guy like him. We haven't even seen Finn Balor, on the main roster. You know, imagine that. I mean, again, is it the main roster or is it just another roster?
Right.
I mean, who knows? But
you're just saying that to differentiate. We know
correct.
What you mean.
Correct. Wow. Very good dictation.
You're welcome.
On your vernacular. So Kevin Owens, sir. Boom, wins the match. Pop up powerbomb. Really enjoyed the match. Boom, main event. Here you go. Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. Build up was there big time throughout the whole show. Did the right thing. Table set. We know the story. Match too big for WrestleMania, which I'm still surprised they used that moniker, but I like it. Both these guys gave you everything they had. They both physically went in there and laid it in and beat the snot out of each other. Good amount of suplexes. Hell's Gate submission early in the match, which is basically like a go-go platter. Okay, for those
a poo-poo platter?
No, go-go. Jesus, see now. Why you see?
As you reminded me of poo-poo platter. It's kind of funny. I can have a little humor in them.
No, but it's like, why are you going to say?
Because I don't know what that is. Why don't you tell me what it is?
Because I get a lot of MMA fans who listen to the show, and then you're going to say that, and they're going to hate you, bro. Why are you going to say that?
I was just playing.
Because it's Bush League.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. You don't have to.
Apologize to MMA fans. But, to Joe Rogan, I'm sorry, Joe.
So anyway. No, but look, the finish built controversy, and that's what they were going for, and they have it. Now you're intrigued to watch Raw. That's their job here. Okay, their job is to get you to watch Raw. Did I like the finish? Not necessarily. I thought it should have been clean to see, but, you know, I once I saw Brock flip off Undertaker while he was in the Hell's Gate, I knew that Brock wasn't going to be able to finish the match.
How'd you know?
Because I've done this to certain wrestlers and had them flip me off and working for the same guy that happened to be manager Paul Heyman. I'm managing Brock Lesnar, I say. With Shane Douglas, this happened. I had him in the choke and choked him out, and he flipped me off while, you know, Sabu, same thing. I mean, so, you know, so those real ECW fans have seen that before. But I thought it was cool. The camera happened to be right there shooting Brock's hand. I thought it was great the way it was done. I like this finish, guys. I mean, a lot of people bashed it like crazy. I don't have a problem with it. Look, the referee had a move to get a pin cover count. He didn't see. They did a good job on the other end of it, the replay, where it's exposed that Taker did actually tap.
Now, some people have a problem with Taker tapping. Do you have a problem with Taker tapping?
I
don't either. I
have a problem with nobody tapping. I've said it when I used to be a commentator in the WWE. There's no shame in tapping. That's always been a big thing that I've said. Because you live to fight another day. Someone has
they think of Undertaker as like this.
Well, know. I understand that. But, you know, it's still, there's no... I have no problem with that. He got hooked. He got caught in a Kimura nastily. You know what I mean? I actually, speaking of Kimuras, I like the spot they had where Undertaker was in the corner. Brock stood on the second rope, hooked the Kimura, and his facial expressions, the shot was great. The Kimura was in while Taker was standing. Somehow Taker got out, and he did the last ride into it. I thought that was a really cool spot.
Very.
Nice false finish. Good stuff. But then, back to the finish. Taker taps out. You see it on a replay. Announcers did an excellent job recapping that. Now there's controversy. Referee Charles Robinson, my man, he's yelling at the ring announcer, like, yo, it's my job. What are you jumping the gun here, ringing the bell? You know, I think they should have did a shot of the timekeeper saying he tapped. I saw him, you know, like a two-camera shot. I think that would have been good. The camera swishing back and forth. I think that would have been a better storytelling thing there. At the end of the day, people were pissed off because they wanted to see an actual finish. You know, well, you did. I mean, Undertaker.
You saw two of them.
Yeah, you did. Undertaker, you know, caused Brock to lose, and then, you know, Paul threw a shit fit at the end of the show and went crazy. No, whatever. It's funny. People going, yes. What are you saying? No. That was funny.
He announced Brock as the winner via tap.
Yeah, so I look.
And he's right.
Yep. I think you'll see. Well, not really, but I hear you.
Not in the record books.
But you want to tune in to Raw tonight to see what the story is, and that's their job. But anyway, a lot of people buried it and all that stuff. But you know, I don't have like a huge problem with it. I just don't.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was interesting. I did. A lot of people I don't think liked the show. I think some people. I was reading some stuff online. I don't think a lot of people were going crazy for the show.
4 hours is a big commitment.
I thought it was a good show. I mean, if I paid $60 for the show, I might be a little hot. You know, I mean, if I paid $60 for something 4 hours, I got to be an idiot anyway, because I wouldn't do it. That's just me. $9.99 a month, I'm in. You know?
You know, some of the matches we talked about, Rollins and Cena, Undertaker and Brock, is worth it alone. I mean, you know, and then you throw in Owens and Cesaro on top of it, you got a great card.
No doubt, Jabba. So look, that's that. This has been a super show, like literally like big, like a super show.
Like a super show. A
lot of stuff in the show.
This would be every day, the Taz Show.
Yeah, yes, sir. The Taz Show. Hashtag TT Show.
TT.
How do we say it? TT Show or TTS Show?
Get Audi to sponsor us.
TTS How.
TTS How. I like that.
TT
Show. You're part American Indian, right?
I think it's called Native American.
That too.
I think you need to learn the PC way of saying
things. I said it wrong?
Yeah.
I'm watching too much Trump.
Yeah, you can't. Back to Trump. It's called Native American. Anyway, look, I hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the podcast, The Human Podcast Machine. Thank you all for your support on behalf of Seth here, too. I mean, we get a nice recap of NXT. Obviously, SummerSlam, too. And again, spread the word, man. September 14th, Daily Show, The Taz Show. 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on radio.com, play.it, streaming. Streaming and screaming, baby. That'll be me, baby. That'll be me and my man Seth right here. We'll have other cast of characters here at CBS that are running around, technicians will be in the studio. We'll have other people coming on. Got to get that guy Matt on, that guy that works down the hall. He's crazy.
Yeah. Hair and makeup.
Yeah, hair and makeup. Yeah. On that note. All right, look, that was Seth. I'm Taz. You're not. See ya.